Welcome to Your Family's Health. This is Dr. Janine Cook-Arad from the Department of Nursing here at Nassau Community College. Your Family's Health is a program that focuses on healthcare issues and resources available here in Nassau County. On the show, we will be speaking to experts from around the country to keep you up to date on current healthcare issues and trends. Today, we will be speaking to Mary from Rockland County about Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous. So if you want to know more about how to stay healthy in Nassau County, stay tuned for the next half hour to the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thanks so much, Neem.
And I'm here also, let me say, with a student, Shannon Scapiego, and she is a second semester nursing student. So welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. Glad to be on the show today.
So let's start about, Mary, tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here and share my story. Thanks. So my story begins, I came into the FA program, the Food Addicts in Recovery program, very young. I was 20, and I'm actually 50 now. And
still young.
Yeah, really young, and still very young,
yes.
And happy. When I was a kid, food really lit up for me in a way that was different from other kids. It was kind of really on my radar, really from a young age, and I loved food. I thought about it all the time. You know, I stole money from my mom's change purse to go to the store and get junk food. And it was always, I should say, I wasn't real big on like Brussels sprouts. it was really the sugar and the flour that was really, and particularly candy. That was something that really lit up for me, and sugar cereals. And, you know, and it started, like I said, it started really young. And so as I, got older, it got worse, and I gained weight. I wasn't a super, super overweight child, but I was a heavy kid, and I was definitely chunky, but I felt like I was 500 pounds. And I always envied, you know, other girls who could wear the skinny jeans mm-hmm. and, you know, could do the clothes, and I just couldn't. So I worked on my personality. I built up a big personality for myself. I was kind of large and in charge. But I always felt very insecure because of my eating and because of my weight. And as I went through life, food got much, much more of an obsession for me. And when I was 13, we had a tragedy in our family. My older brother died very suddenly. And that year, I gained 30 pounds. And I graduated to really being, you know, fat, what I would consider fat at that time. And I just felt so terrible about myself. And I, you know, I started dieting. And every diet I tried, it seemed like I got bigger. And it seemed almost like I was paying people to gain weight. Mm-hmm. And I really tried hard. And it felt so unfair because I was heavy and I was dieting. And the girls that were skinny, they seemed to be able to eat anything and stay skinny. And it just, it really, it was such a huge focus of my life, and I tried lots and lots and lots of diets, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, no, Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig wasn't out yet. I tried being athletic, which was kind of a joke because I was heavy, but I was that girl in the aerobics class shooting, like whooping and yelling and like working harder than everybody else, but then afterwards I would go over to Dunkin' Donuts. You know, and so all that was wasted. And I was very alone. I was a binger. I was someone who absolutely, I would rather have been dead than been caught binging because I was so ashamed of it. Mm. And I had kind of a double life because I was very successful in my life. I had lots of friends. I did very well in school. As I went on in life, I went to an Ivy League college. I was very skilled, but when it came to food, like all bets were off. I just couldn't apply willpower. I had no willpower in that area of my life, and it tortured me. And I didn't talk about it to anybody because, again, I was so ashamed of it. And By the time I was 17, I was 5'3" tall, and I weighed 200 pounds, and I really wanted to die. And I, you know, I didn't know I was that depressed. I didn't know I hated myself. But I just, I knew I felt terrible all the time. And I was also very bottled up. My brother's death, I never really processed it. You know, I was 13. I had no coping skills. And so I was a very complicated, unhappy young woman. And so after I had done probably about 10 different approaches to weight loss, including joining the New Age, you know, I tried yoga and holistic health and all that, and I just binged on brown rice, you know, like there was no such thing as health food for me because I just could abuse it because I just eat so much of it. So I was so depressed, and I heard about this program, and I started going to some meetings, and I was utterly amazed because everything that people said felt so true for me. It's amazing. Going back 30 years now, it was in August of 1987. I went to my first meeting, and they were talking about doing things with food that I had no idea other people did.
So tell me, but just to interrupt you, how did you come to the point where you were able to say in your mind, I have an addiction, and not just say, I like food? Like, how did you make that distinction in your mind?
I had an addiction until I went to the program. And then when they said food can be an addiction and sugar and flour are drugs for some people, I thought, oh my God, that's me.
Who was able to give you the resource? How did you find them?
Well, I was living in Massachusetts at the time, and I just had some friends, and they said they knew I suffered. Mm-hmm. You know, these were personal friends with my weight. See, I thought I had a weight problem. I had no idea I had that plus a food problem, mm-hmm. plus also a living problem. And so they told me, you know, they had heard about this program, and so they were the ones. That's how I found out about it, just through some friends.
So what is Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous? What is that?
So it's a 12-step program. It's closely modeled on AA. We started out, there was a group of us within the program of Overeaters Anonymous. When I came in, it was still Overeaters Anonymous. And but there was a belief among some of the people there that food wasn't just compulsive overeating, which is what usually was said in OA, that it was actually an addiction, and that it really needed to be addressed as an addiction, and which meant that we all had the same definition of sobriety. And so about 20 years ago, we left OA and formed FA. And it's a program where you go to meetings, and it's free, and there's meetings all over the tri-state area, and and all different people are welcome. We have kind of, you know, men, women, young, old, every background you can imagine. And people come together and talk about what it means to be addicted to food, and we focus on the solution. The program has a number of tools that we use, meetings, sponsor, the literature. We have FA literature. We rely also on AA literature. And you go to meetings, and you call a sponsor, and they help you get your body into the right place. Like, I was 80 pounds overweight, so I lost 80 pounds 30 years ago, and it stayed off. But some people come in, and they may be underweight. They may have no weight to lose, but they're obsessed. They may be bulimic. You know, there's all different forms of kind of how food addiction can manifest. So FA addresses them all.
Not to cut you off, does this program really work? I mean, you know, there are the statistics from the CDC that say that one in every three adults or more in the United States has obesity, is affected by obesity.
Well, I can only share my experience, which is that the people that I know, now I've been around 30 years, so I know a lot of people in the program, and I know men who have lost hundreds of pounds and kept it off. I have a friend, I won't mention his name, but he lives in Michigan, He's been in this program for about 15 years. He lost 240 pounds and is maintaining that loss now for 15 years. There's a friend of mine up in Canada. He lost 60 pounds. He's maintaining it. I have a friend in Boston. She lost 200 pounds.
Wow.
Okay. And so she was 350 when she came in. She's a very tall woman. And she's been maintaining that. She came in the year after I did. I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. And then there are people. I have a friend who's been in program 20 years. She's bulimic. Her bulimia has been arrested for 20 years. And she's in a healthy body size. And we don't really focus on getting thin because there are a lot of thin people who are still very tortured and addicted to food. We talk about healthy body size and a peaceful heart. And, you know, clarity of mind. Because when you're obsessed, you're...
Do you think that you can elaborate on what you guys talk about in the program? How does this program actually help your addiction?
Well, so the first thing is you put the plug in the jug. Like they say in AA, you're given a food plan by your sponsor. And the definition of abstinence in the program is no flour and no sugar. We eat weighed and measured meals because most of us are also addicted to quantities of food. So, like, what I could do at a salad bar would probably blow your mind, you know?
And blow our mind in terms of how little or how much?
No, how much, you know? Because, like, if there was nothing other than vegetables, I'm good. I'll do it, you know? Because I'm not using food for fuel. I'm using it to remove myself from myself.
Mm-hmm.
And with the sugar and flour, there's also a physiological craving. You know, there's this, I have one bite of sugar and flour, and this craving takes over. And it's very powerful, and it's very, very hard to relate to if you don't have it. And, you know, there have been people that said to me, just you know, you've been in control now for so many years. Why don't you just do it on your own? Why do you have to, you know, keep going? And number one, I love being there because it's a fellowship and it's a wonderful community of people who really care about each other. But also because for me as an addict, I really believe that I still have the addiction. And there have been times, very, very acutely stressful times in my life when I didn't pick up food, but I started having food thoughts again. And so I went to more meetings, and I did more with my tools, and I took more quiet time, which is what we call meditation, and I got through it without having to use food to escape it. But I really believe that once you're a pickle, you never go back to being a cucumber, and I definitely crossed that line.
Shannon brought up a very good point. She was talking about some CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, statistics about obesity in the United States. Why do you think that as people in the United States that we have this addiction that's so prevalent in comparison to other countries?
Well, I mean...
you think it's the stress, or you think that it's just the availability?
I think it's the availability. I mean, we could get very political and talk about, you know, big food and all that, but that's...
Supersizing, yes.
Yeah, right. So for me, I tend to focus more on the solution and that you know, but I definitely know that, you know, when I went abroad in my 20s in the program, and they didn't have... you know, McDonald's and Dunkin's and Starbucks on every corner. And now I think it's really different. Now I think that, you know, there's a lot more fast food and there's a lot more obesity, and the statistics are really changing in, you know, like other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, it's so sad that the food that's offered, particularly to our children, is the stuff that's inexpensive. And so that's the processed foods, not the whole foods.
It sounds like me when I talk about the availability and our food supply. This is a good time for a break. Mary, we're going to have more from you, but you're listening to Your Family's Health on the Voice of Nassau Community College at 90.3 WHPC. This is Dr. Cook Girard along with Shannon Scapiego, and we will continue talking with Mary from Rockland County about food addicts in recovery after this short break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape? You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman! Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
WHPC. HPC.
Welcome back to Your Family's Health. This is Dr. Janine Cook-Girard, along with Shannon Scapiego, with our interviewee, Mary, from Rockland County. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, Mary, we left off talking about the fast foods that are available and how they are so cheap. What do you do if you have the urge to return to your past habits, considering they're so available?
Yeah, oh, it's a great question, because food is everywhere, and that's one of the hard things about being a food addict, is that, like we say in AA, you slay the dragon. In FA, we have to take him out and pet him 3 times a day. You know, so food is everywhere. And the program offers so much support, and again, it's all free of charge, so it's not like anyone is trying to get anything out of you, just, I think, which helps people, you know, trust. But you have, we have phone lists, and so people call each other all different times of day. I remember when I was nursing my kids, and I'd be up in the middle of the night, and I'd call people in Germany, because they were already awake, FA members in Germany, you know. So there's the phone, and there's meetings are... You know, if you're really, like I was saying in a moment, my son was diagnosed with autism a number of years ago, and I remember, and I was in the program, and I remember thinking, I can't eat over this because I need to be there for him. And but I tell you, I went to extra meetings because I knew that the food would start to call me if I didn't get extra medicine. So we just think of it as using the tools, and in the we have pamphlets. They're kind of power pamphlets. You can read them and kind of just get a boost of morale and inspiration. And it's amazing because early on, and when I was still in withdrawal and I was really hurting and the cravings were still there, I would pass a bakery and I would be so drawn to that food. And I would just pick up the phone and call somebody. And, you know, they would talk to me and I would get off the phone and I wouldn't want the food anymore. And it was
so
amazing.
Mary, you don't have sweets anymore at all?
We have fruit. We definitely have fruit. But we don't have any processed sugars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy food still?
I love food. I'm still a food addict.
Okay. You still
and
enjoy your
food
meals.
I don't like either. When I was So it's delicious. It's whole food. It's you get a lot of food right away. But it's passed down. The food plan is very healthy. If you look at sort of the USDA plate, you know, the healthy plate,
yes.
We have everything, fruit, vegetable, dairy, oils, meat, grains, whole grains. It's wonderful. And you see it because when you go to the meetings, the people are so vibrant. And again, they're not skinny. They're healthy. They just look like they're in the body they were meant to have.
Mm. Great. So for those of our listeners out there that do think they may have a problem as a food addict, what are the signs that would indicate that you have a food addiction?
Yeah, well, that is also an important question. So also, if you go to our website, which is foodaddicts.org, there's a card on there called the 20 questions card. And it says, are you a food addict? And there are 20 questions, so I'll share a couple. But if you want to go, you know, if any of your listeners want to go there to foodaddicts.org, they can do the whole card. But I think the main thing is that you're really thinking about food much more than you're comfortable with. Your food, your weight, that you have shame around your body, shame around how you eat. That you don't want other people to know about how you eat. Those are some of the signs, you know, that there may be a real addiction, and mainly that you want to eat in a healthy way and you can't stop.
So we saw some of these questions on your website, and it's actually 20 questions that you can ask
right.
yourself. And honestly ask yourself. So you do, does the organization have you to fill us out prior to coming?
No, it's very informal. You know, okay. FA and all the 12-step programs are very grassroots. So there's no scales, there's no registration forms, there's nothing like that. You just come, and the meetings offer the pamphlets for free to the newcomer, and you can just take a look at it on the website or at a meeting. And it's really a personal process of knowing whether this feels right. I mean, there's a lot of people that come to FA, it's really not right for them because they might just have a problem with weight, you know. But when you really have a problem with food, then it resonates, then, you know, then it feels right. And we have lots of people to, you know, really happy. I'm always happy to talk to newcomers, people who are sort of in that question mark place. And you just go to meetings. You're welcome to come to meetings as long as you want. You don't have to start the program until you're ready, but it gives you an idea when you go to the meetings, and people share it in the front of the room what their stories are. And usually if someone has come to a meeting, something is going to resonate for them.
So how would I get started in FA, and how do I find out more about the program? I know you mentioned a website before.
Definitely. The website is the best way, and on the website is a meeting locator. And with every meeting that's listed on there, and there's hundreds and hundreds of meetings, we're all over the world now, and I think, like, I don't know, 20 different countries, and there's 7,000 members or something. So there's a lot of meetings, and there's always a contact person for that meeting listed on the website with a phone number. So, like, I'm the contact person here in Rockland County, and my phone number is on there, and so you can call and find out where a meeting is. You can also call the FA office, and they'll send out literature. That phone number is on the website. And, I mean, really, the best thing is to come to a meeting. We also have a book called Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous. It's a paperback book. You can order that through the website. And that has stories of, 10 or 15 different people who have been in the program for all different lengths of time. Some who are bulimic, some were undereaters, some like me were obese. And that's also a great way to kind of meet the program on your own time in a safe way.
And how did Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous grow over this past 20 years to become an international organization?
Well, it's really word of mouth in the program. You know, people are suffering. So many people are suffering with food addiction, and they just, you know, they beat themselves up. They think they're, I mean, I thought I was like a pig, and I called myself horrible names. I had no idea that I was addicted. And so family members who hear about the program often will tell, you know, their family members about it. We get a lot of people in through the other 12-step programs. We get a lot of people in through AA and Al-Anon. A lot of people go into those programs not realizing they're cross-addicted, and then they hear about it, and they come and they stay. So it's just grown by word of mouth very organically. And we don't advertise. You know, we're not a diet club. So we just let people know mostly through word of mouth and the website. So it grows slowly, but the people, you know, that it's right for, it really works. And it's really like freedom for me to not be obsessed with food anymore. I never think about food. And it allows me to be in my life in a way. I mean, I feel great. I'm 50 years old. I wear great clothing. I shop at Marshall's, and I love it because I can just go in and buy stuff.
Right,
I went to Wicked
yeah.
this past weekend, and I got a great, cute little dress at Marshall's to wear. And yes. you know, it's a freedom.
Congratulations. For that.
Well, thank you, God. And it's not just the weight. It's also just being at peace with myself because I'm not obsessed with food. And I also just want to say it's not religious. Some people think 12-step programs are religious, and it's really not. It's really just kind of acknowledging that you need help, and mm-hmm. then there's so much help available.
Now, does FA, is this organization available to go indoors to people who may be morbidly obese and cannot otherwise leave their homes?
Absolutely. We call them shut-ins. And we have a committee. One of our committees is called the 12-step committee, because the 12th step of the program is carrying the message to food addicts who are still suffering. So our 12-step committee brings meetings to people who can't get out for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that FA would also, I don't know that they do ever encourage bariatric surgery as a means for recovery, or is that something outside and separate?
Well, we actually work with bariatric surgeons. I mean, obviously, we would prefer for people to try something non-invasive like FA, you know, to see if that could work for them before they have the surgery. But a lot of bariatric surgeons refer their patients to us for a support group post-surgically. And in fact, in the book Food Addicts from Recovery Anonymous, there's a letter from a bariatric surgeon that leads up the book, that opens the book. Mm. And we're actually, FA has a booth. There's a big conference for bariatric surgeons a week from tomorrow, and FA will have a booth there in that context, in talking about FA as a support group, because the bariatric surgery is, you know, addresses the physical level, but if you're a food addict, then there are ways to gain that weight back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, so depressing to do the surgery and then regain the weight. So we're there as an alternative pre- and post-surgically for bariatric patients.
So, Mary, in I would say one or two sentences, could you sum up for our listeners your takeaway with regard to FA?
Absolutely. If you are suffering because of food, if you want help and are afraid to hope because you feel like you've been a failure in this area for so long, come to a meeting and find out that there really is hope, there really is a solution, and we are here for you.
Thank you so much. I think that was a very touching and relevant conversation about FA and your story. So we want to thank our guests, Mary from Rockland County, for being with us, Shannon and I, and we want to thank you for listening to Your Family's Health.
This brings an end to another edition of Your Family's Health. Joan Buckley and Janine Cook-Garrard are professors of nursing at Nassau Community College. Your comments are always welcome by email at whpc@ncc.edu. This program was produced in the studios of 90.3 WHPC on the campus of Nassau Community College. Podcasts are available on iTunes, Android Podcasts, and Spreaker.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Your Family's Health on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.